Recently, the nonprofit group The Teepee Raisers finished their 400-mile horseback trek to the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. Before the group of Native and non-Native writers began their journey, we spoke with the executive director of the nonprofit. He's also the leader of the group. We also spoke with Lakota tribe member Waylon Belt here on The Morning Magazine. After that interview, they invited me to join them for the Boulder to Longmont leg of their ride. I took them up on that, and now we bring you sounds and stories from that experience. The Ogallala Lakota, also known as the Sioux, originally traveled the American plains on horseback as nomads. But today, of the roughly 38,000 identifying Lakota tribe members in the U.S., the overwhelming majority of them live on or around the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota. Pine Ridge sits on the very site of the 1890 Wounded Knee Massacre, during which as many as 300 men, women, and children were brutally murdered by the U.S. Army in what some refer to as attempted genocide. Today, the Ogallala Lakota living at Pine Ridge are still suffering. Data from Pine Ridge, collected by the U.S. government, shows the residents of Pine Ridge currently have the lowest life expectancy in the country, as well as the lowest per capita income.
Every winter, I get people calling, almost desperate for firewood to keep their homes warm. Last year, we had a family calling, literally burning their clothing.
That's Dave Ventimiglia, executive director of the Teepee Raisers, a nonprofit that works to enrich the lives of the Lakota people through aid projects and community building. I spoke with Dave ahead of their fourth annual Lakota Ride, a three-week trek on horseback from Colorado to Pine Ridge, meant to raise awareness and support for the plight of the people living on the reservation.
Pine Ridge is it's 6 hours from Denver, and it's when you drive up to Pine Ridge, it's like driving into a third world country. I've been going up there over 20 years, and I still am surprised at some of the depth of poverty that's going on there. So there's almost endless needs for help.
I was invited to join the riders as they passed through Boulder, an opportunity I couldn't refuse. When I arrived at the Teepee Raisers camp on the morning of our ride together, horses were being unloaded. And Dave was prepping the group of around 30 people for the long day ahead.
Can you get people and gather everybody here, please?
Each morning, the group circles to discuss the game plan for the next 24 hours. And the ride is blessed with a song. Meanwhile, each horse and each rider is smudged with sage. Only then is the group ready to begin another day of travel.
Okay, riders, we're out.
Within moments of leaving camp, it becomes clear this is no leisurely, recreational horseback ride, as the group and accompanying caravan make their way down a sidewalk just feet from traffic and local businesses.
Fred Rudd, to your office, please. Thank you.
So we've been going up to Pine Ridge since I was about 3 years old.
16-year-old Sierra is Dave Ventimiglia's daughter. She and her brother Adam have both done the ride start to finish all 4 years. And as we rode side by side, she explained why she believes the ride is so important.
The Lakota ride is my favorite 3 weeks of the entire year. It's because of that reason. I think it's the biggest thing we can be doing right now in order to bring the cultures together. You can always go up and repair a house and fix a pipeline, but you can't build community unless your heart's in it. And when you come on the ride, everyone comes together and people become family, no matter if you're from Texas or Pine Ridge or Colorado or even Germany. It's just people let go of that stuff, and I think that's what we need to be doing more and more, is just building that community. One of my favorite parts of the ride is whenever we come across a river on a hot day, we jump out and jump in the river with all of the kids. And in that moment, we all just come together. We have fun. We forget our differences and the wounds we've created. And it happens every day on the ride. So I just say those are always special moments for me.
One such special moment occurred within the hour at the banks of Boulder Creek. Many of the riders skillfully coaxed their horses into the flowing water, encouraging them to wade in deeper and deeper, until some of the kids were able to hold the saddle horn with one hand and let the horses pull them, floating behind through the current. It was one of many moments that day when I witnessed natives and non-natives doing something together directly in line with the traditions and experiences of the Lakota people. Soaking wet, but refreshed, the group began to move on. After traveling in the rain at a full run on a grassy patch between train tracks and a busy highway, we prepared to end the ride with a police escort through Longmont. As the police stopped traffic and seemed to roll out the red carpet for the caravan, I couldn't help but wonder how the native Lakota I was riding with felt about this interaction with law enforcement. So after the ride, as we rode from the stables to the campsite in a donated RV, I spoke with Waylon Belt, an Ogallala Lakota resident of Pine Ridge that's participated in the Lakota ride from the beginning.
It was like a 180 of what I expected them to do. I expected them to like hand out tickets or just grill us incessantly, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And then give us a reason why we can't do what we're doing and just create a tension. But they're like, oh no, heck no, we're glad you're coming through our place and we're going to help you. And they help us get to where we're going. I was like, wow, that is a big wow. I mean, they're actually, you know, willing to help. So I was like, wow, that says something about the police department. So the police officers were saying that, you know, he encouraged us, you know, to keep going, and that, you know, we were doing good. So that was another, like, wow, I didn't expect that. That was like a splash of cold water on a super hot day. It's just shocking. When I see police, or you know, I think of police coming up to, I don't know, my own personal history of police isn't very good. In my mind, I think the police are actually out to get you for anything or everything, and if not, if they can't get you anything or everything, then they'll make stuff up to get you, or to, you know, make your life that much more miserable just because they can. And so I was just complete in awe that, you know, there's a fun side to a cop, you know, or a human side to them, but, you know.
Once back at camp, the group circled, just as we had in the morning, this time joined by members of the local community that had come to meet the riders and offer their support.
Once again, from the bottom of my heart and from my people, thank you to each and every one of you for your sacrifices. You know, it means a lot. You know, a lot of people on our reservation are suffering in that way, you know, and it means a lot to see everybody come up and step up the way they do. So.
After circling, as the group began to scatter, grabbing food and retreating to their tents for rest, Waylon Belt told me one of the many humanitarian projects the teepee raisers are working on at Pine Ridge is the construction of a new house for his family. And he shared insight into what it's actually like living at Pine Ridge. Only then did it really become clear just how important the Lakota ride is to people like Waylon.
The reservation is so depressing that, you know, that it's easy to think of a suicidal thought. You can't go a day without a suicidal thought. And that thought is, you know, we're struggling so hard here. We're suffering. And all day we suffered. And tomorrow when we wake up, we're going to do it all over again. It's like a never-ending jail sentence, you know. And then I look at my children and say, why would I leave my children to here to suffer by themselves? Why don't I take them with me? And so that thought, you know, crept through my mind quite a lot, you know, that why would I let my children suffer like this? I should end their suffering for them. And since I met Dave, that has all stopped. I can't think of a negative thing, you know, that would hold me down. There's always that thought of, hey, Dave came, he helped out in the hardest times, you know. I'd call Dave and so just giving a couple words of encouragement. That by itself kind of lifts up my spirits, like, hey, you know, he really cares. And that there is hope tomorrow. Because of it, you know, I've been able to pull myself. Hi, my baby. And because of it, you know, I've been able to pull myself up to a point where I'm doing something positive right now. So I'm just like, well, right now I'm surrounded with people that love me and they respect me and they look up to me and they're being kind to me and my family. And so now I'm letting go of the negative stuff and I'm hanging on to all this positive stuff that's going around me right now. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow because it's going to be another good day like today.
A few weeks later, Dave met me next to Clear Creek in Golden, Colorado. I'd been anxiously waiting to hear about how the rest of the trip went.
I haven't done the count yet, but we had somewhere between 75 and 100 total riders.
Dave told me how much it hurt them when, due to unforeseen circumstances, they decided one of the horses needed to be put down along the way. He told me how much it meant to him that he and Waylon, who he calls Masu, or little brother, were able to reconcile after a heated argument brought on by exhaustion and stress. But Dave explained that the warm welcome they received this year as they rode on to Pine Ridge was perhaps the greatest victory of this year's trip.
In the second year of the ride, there were some people who wanted to stop the ride. That had everything to do with not understanding, not knowing, misunderstanding, assuming the worst about some white people riding and raising funds for the reservation. And did they trust that? And projecting past wrongs, you know, from Wounded Knee to churches that have hurt people on the reservation to nonprofits who haven't been transparent, projecting those wounds or misdeeds onto our intentions. And so they literally in the second year tried to stop us. And then last year, the third year of the ride, we crossed without any resistance, but it kind of it's not how we wanted to ride across the reservation. And then this year we were invited to actually ride into the Oglala Lakota Nation powwow. They had a representatives from the tribe had cordoned off this section for us to ride into. The police helped us get through the roads. And there was confusion on the reservation about, wait, who are these folks? And for us, it was, in terms of looking at this as a long-term thing, it was really easy for us to see how we're slowly beginning to earn trust and respect. In 5 years, I hope we're riding across the reservation line with, 150 young Native people on horseback, and everybody understands what's going on. And but we accept that it's the long game. We're here over the long haul.
Even though Dave considers this year's Lakota ride the most successful yet, the teepee raisers didn't raise much funds. But everyone seems to agree that the relationship and increase in cross-cultural understanding is what matters. The Native and non-Native kids playing in the river together, members of the tribe having perhaps the first positive interaction with law enforcement they've ever had. Members of the community showing up all along the way, offering their support. And those moments when the hardship of the trip strips away shallow Native and non-Native interaction and exposes something real, a real bond, a healthy bond, starting on horseback and ending with a widespread, truly respectful and equal relationship between Natives and non-Natives, the likes of which have never been seen in the U.S. before. For KGNU, I'm Hanalei Myers.